Penguin, he is a fat man.
Yeah. Welcome. Yep. We were supposed to talk about Batman.
Yeah, cause that boy Penguin, he is a fat man.
Yeah, but I forgot to go to the movies.
Damn, but I still got to go to the movies.
Touch on the movies, yeah. Congratulations. You found yourself in that strange part of the internet once again, but it's okay. You're here with us. My name is Chris.
And I'm Jonathan.
Welcome to the Death Taco Podcast. So for this episode, we were supposed to talk about the new Batman movie, but I didn't go to the movies.
I did. I got lucky. I didn't have to pay for it.
I want you to retell the story.
Man, so I post on my story, and I was like, you know, who's trying to go see this new Batman movie? You know, I need a little boo to go with, whatever. And this girl ends up hitting me up, and she goes, hey, I'm going to the movie out in Shawnee with a couple friends. I'm like, all right, I need friends. Like, I got a go-to guy. I go to for everything. When any girls involved, like, I need a two-man. You know, he's coming. So I hit my cousin up, and I was like, yo, you trying to go to the movies? It's me, this girl, and these other girls. And it's like a bunch of girls, and we're the only guys. You know, he's not gay, so he's going to say yes. So he's like, okay, let's go do this. And so we end up getting to the movie, whatever. And she, right before we get there, she calls me. She goes, hey, I had my mom buy you tickets. I'm like, me and him? She was like, yeah, I had her buy 3 tickets. I'm like, I love these rich white women. I love them. And so we get into the movie, you know, watching the movie. She buys the popcorn, the drink, the movie. I'm feeling like a lady. She's the man. I'm like, okay, you pay for it? All right, let's see how this goes. We get in the movie, you know, watching the movie. And she spills a drink on me, bro. Oh, like, not just a little bit, like, you know, like this. No, the whole big-ass cup of lemonade all over me.
Low-key, bro, she was probably nervous.
Man, she was like, can I get a drink? And spilled it all over. I was like, yo.
Yo.
I was like, man, that's a straight L. I was wearing a white t-shirt and had yellow on it. Looked like I peed myself.
Came back and you just sat on the opposite end of the movie theater to let her know you were displeased.
Man, I was like, man, I don't even want to sit by you no more.
Bro, I can't think of anything I disliked more when I was younger than going to see a movie with a female, because I'm really a movie guy, bro. When I'm going to a movie, I really want to watch a fucking movie. And if you're going with like a new female, it's always very distracting because there's always like this base level thing inside of you that's like, at what point am I grabbing this bitch's titty?
Man, it's like, and she kept, what made me mad is, you know, I love my movies. When I get into a movie, and we're in a movie theater, mind you, we're in a movie theater. She's checking her phone. Red flag. All right, not only is she checking her phone, but she's trying to have a conversation with me. Talking about what we're going to do after the movie or whatever. And I'm just like, hey, can we finish this movie and then decide what we're going to do after the movie? Mm-hmm. Mind you, we went to go see Batman at about 10. It's a 3-hour movie. It's like 2 hours and 45 minutes, something like that. It's a long movie. So we didn't even get out the movies till like 1:05. And at that point, there's nothing to do, but she wanted to sit there in the movie and talk about what we're doing after the movie in a movie theater full of people, pitch black, and the movie's going. I'm like, can we just focus on this movie and then decide what we're going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
So she's talking to me. I'm like, shh. Like, trying to hush her up. And then at one point, I was like, shh, like, can we watch the movie and then talk?
You got to let them know what it is sometimes, man.
And what bothered me the most is she goes, I don't even know why I came to this movie. I don't even know nothing about Batman. Like, this movie's so stupid. I'm like, hey, watch your mouth.
Don't talk about Batman that way, yo.
Man, I'm about to do her like he was doing those villains on that movie. He's about to jump up and spin kick her.
So, on the subject of that, like, what are your favorite superheroes? Like, is Batman that guy, or?
No, I think there's one superhero that just untouched, and it's Daredevil. Because he's blind. He can't see. He's whooping your ass without looking at you. Just everything, like, he got real-life spider senses.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just think my favorite superhero vigilante of all time would be Daredevil.
I can kind of see that, because Daredevil's kind of like the people's champ, because he's like always called like, did you ever see the Netflix show that he was part of with like the Defenders and shit? That's definitely like the JV team. He's like captain of the JV team. He's the little guy.
Yeah, it's funny because he's the one with the disadvantage over everybody. Everybody else can see. Like, he ain't got no superpowers. The Batman don't have no superpowers. But I think that, honestly, Daredevil would beat Batman's ass, not even looking.
You gotta stop, bro. Listen, I don't like Batman that much, but fucking to say that Daredevil would fuck up Batman, I don't know.
Hey, I don't know, bro, but the way he be kicking their ass without looking, imagine if he could see. If Daredevil could see.
Listen, I think if he could see, that takes away all of his superpowers, bro.
What if one day
the only reason he's so good?
What if one day he just wakes up and he's like, oh shit, I can see again? Then people are in trouble.
Well, it's because he's blind that he's so superhuman because of his, like, other senses being heightened. His hearing is so good, he can hear better than motherfuckers that can see. So if he was able to see, I would have, unless he got to keep those, like, heightened senses.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, one day he woke up and his vision was just back, I think he'd be untouchable.
Unstoppable?
Yeah.
Superhero-wise, bro, I think my dude was always the Hulk. I always just like the thought of just like the brute strength, fucking determination. He gets stronger as he gets angrier.
Yeah.
I like the simplicity of that.
Yeah, I like Hulk too. He's just hella strong. Just hell. Like if I had to get a strong dude like to help me out, it'd definitely be Hulk.
There's a lot of people with real specific ones though. Like I know this dude who was obsessed with Wolverine.
I don't see how people have obsessions with Wolverine and like characters like that. Like they're cool, but bro just has blades sticking out of his hands. Like that's it.
Yeah, well, I mean, our whole thing with Wolverine, right, is we just think of the guy from the movies, Hugh Jackman. Yeah. A lot of people, they think of Wolverine as the dude from the comics in like the yellow outfit with the horns. He was like 5'2" or some shit. Just a little scrappy motherfucker, badass dude, always smoking cigarettes and shit. So I think our like thought of Wolverine is different than a lot of older people's.
Yeah.
But, so Marvel, DC. You know what that means?
Yeah, like Marvel, the Avengers and stuff, and DC's like...
The Justice League.
Yeah.
So whose team are you on?
It had to be Marvel, because, you know...
Daredevil. I mean, it's fucking Marvel, bro.
Well, Daredevil's Marvel, so...
Yeah, I mean, everybody's fucking Marvel, dude.
Man, they got Iron Man, they got... fucking Superman. They got all the good. Or Superman, is he DC or is he Marvel too?
He's DC.
DC. So, well, Marvel just has like
Marvel's got the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, the Avengers.
Yeah.
Everybody, bro.
Yeah. So they're badass. DC got Batman, Flash, and.
Were you old enough to remember like before Marvel movies though? Mm-mm. It's funny because growing up, it was always the Justice League, dog. It was Superman. It was Batman. Wonder Woman and all that shit. And, like, Marvel, nigga, whenever, like, I heard that they were going to make an Iron Man movie, I didn't know who the fuck Iron Man was. Nobody, like, those were, to me at the time, those were B-team characters.
Yeah.
I knew who the Fantastic Four was more famous than the fucking, the Avengers.
That's crazy.
Like, I thought, I don't know who Thor was. I was like, Thor, the God of Thunder? What the fuck is that?
Got a big-ass hammer. That's it?
Yeah, like, I knew the Hulk. I think the Hulk might have been, because I didn't even really know Captain America. I wasn't a big comic dude. But it's crazy to think that, like, when I was growing up, I was like, who the fuck going to watch a movie about Thor and Iron Man?
And now that's...
Now those are, like...
Yeah, big movies, yeah.
People kind of, like, put them up there with Batman and Superman type shit, you know?
Yeah.
I never liked Superman. I always thought, like, you ever play, you played Rock, Paper, Scissors, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever, like, get dumb with it and you were like, Rock, Paper, Scissors, water.
Yeah.
Nothing beats water.
Yeah, Rock, Paper, Scissors, God. You're not beating
pretty
me.
Much, like, Superman is God. Like, if you're playing Rock, Paper, Scissors and niggas are fighting, bro, it's like, Rock, Paper, Scissors, not Batman, not Wonder Woman, God. And it's like, come on, dog.
Nah, somebody, now I'm Kryptonite. Right there, you're done.
Shit, speaking of Superman, you ever seen the movie called Brightburn?
Mm-mm.
You know what it is?
Mm-mm.
It's basically what if Superman came to Earth and he was a psycho.
What the hell?
It's about a little boy. Like, literally the exact Superman story. The spaceship falls in Kansas at some farm. This lady's raising a kid. And he is Superman, you know? He's showing all these super strengths and all these abilities. He can fly and stuff. And then out of nowhere, he starts drawing these fucked up looking pictures. Starts, like, torturing animals. fucking kids up at school, piss them off. And then by the end of it, he just goes full, like, I'm just tearing everybody apart.
So like a villain kind of.
It's pretty much like the anti Superman origin story.
So kind of like how Spider-Man has that the black one like Venom. The
symbiote.
Yeah, just kind of like that kind of like how there's a darker like version.
Mm-hmm. So we got to do that one. I think at some point that'd be fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a tight movie. Just badass Superman, just the villain. I think villains are like, there's movies where villains are actually like the best characters. Like there's some movies like where villains are actually tighter than some of the superheroes. Like I'm not gonna lie, like some mm-hmm. like especially in this Batman movie, I think the Riddler was hard. Just some of the riddles that he put in the movie, they had humor to them, but like the right amount of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was one point in the movie where Batman was like, all right, there's a drive, like, you know, find this drive. There was a drive in the quarry. They had to find it, and it had a thumb connected to it, like a thumbprint, like a thumb drive. And it, like the way that they pieced that together was actually like, it was funny, but it, like it was kind of like, you know, like the dark humor, because you had to put the thumb onto the drive, take the thumbprint. And they call it thumb drive.
Yeah. I think I've told you this before. I don't know if I mentioned it to you. I know I said it on the podcast. What makes a movie great is if the villain is as interesting or better than the hero.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like you're playing a video game, right? Like you get bored if the guys you're fighting are like too weak or too simple, right?
Yeah.
You want a little bit of a challenge. So you have to, it's the same thing when you're watching a movie. You want to see a hero getting challenged by his villain. You just don't want to see him walking all over the motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
So your villain has to be either as interesting, or most of the times they're more interesting because they get to do evil shit. But that's part of the talent, is you make the character likable as, like, they're doing fucked up shit. Shit, man, how's your week been, bro?
Crazy. I quit my job and I'm about to go work at another one now. I just went up there and talked to one of my old managers from Menards. He was like, yeah, come back up here. I'm putting in the work. Pull your application, whatever. Like, we're going to get you back in.
Mm.
Yeah.
What made you quit the other one?
They was messing with my pay. They was giving my bonus. Because when I first started, they were getting 20 an hour. And then moved it to 15 with the bonus. But you had to show up 4 out of the 5 days on time, which I did. And they wouldn't get my bonus, and I was like, why haven't I been getting my bonus? They're like, oh, you got to show up 5 days. And the bonus is 2 weeks behind.
That just sounds dumb.
I said, yeah, I'm putting in my 2 weeks. Didn't show up ever again.
Yeah. I've talked to you about this before, man. When you're youngest, that's like the hardest time to find like good work, like steadily.
Yeah, I just want a good, steady job, get paid weekly. That's all I'm looking for, is a good, steady job to get paid weekly. That's why I'm going back to Menards, because they get paid weekly. I'll be in the outside yard. Don't get fucked with. Many people, customers come in. You help them unload up the bays, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy work. And he said I was going to be being paid more than what I was before, which I was making 15, 16, I think, 17 maybe. I don't know, something up there. And with being forklift certified, I'll get an extra $2. So I'll be making about what I was making at UPS. More hours.
Not bad at all. How are you going to do the school shit in between that, though?
So I'm online, do it at my own pace.
Yeah.
Get off work, do a little bit here and there, do some in the morning, whenever I have time.
So at this age is a good time to ask, like, what do you want to do long term?
I'm really into, like, weights. Like, I love the gym. So me thinking what I want to do in the future, probably personal training to help people better themselves. I mean, I've always wanted to get in shape, be fit, be like one of those big stocky bodybuilders.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like personal trainer, I'll be able to work on myself while helping people work, because watching the personal trainer I go to, he works out while he's giving me workouts. Like, he'll be like, all right, this is what you're doing, this is it. He'll be working out, and after I'm done with that, I'll come to him and he'll give me something else.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I want to run mine eventually.
I think you'd be good at that, because you give off like that friendly vibe. I think like you're kind of like, you can get along with just about anybody, I'd assume.
Yeah, I don't really have many problems, like, conflict-wise, unless, you know, somebody's in their bubble, and then they come at me and then kind of snap back. But other than that, I don't fight with too many people.
Yeah, yeah, I feel that.
It's like everybody come around me and they, you know, I don't ever give off no bad vibes, so I don't get any bad vibes in return, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So what type of, like, window would you give yourself to do something like that?
I say a couple years, as long as I, you know, get my personal training certificate, you know, be a certified personal trainer while going to the gym, doing my own workouts, because I have my own personal workouts that I do. If it's chest day, leg day, cardio day, you know, whatever, then, you know, you do that. But lately I've been falling off the wagon, not going to the gym.
It'd be like that, man.
But I feel like if it's my job, then I automatically make time, because it's like now I'm getting older, I don't have all this free time. I'm got stuff to do, responsibilities. Like, say, if I got to take somebody to work or, you know, help, I got to go to work. I don't have time for the gym. I got to go to school, work, you know, all this other stuff. I don't have time for the gym. I feel like if it's my job, I'll always have time for it. So there's no excuse not to work out.
You ever looked into, like, what the pay for that type of stuff is?
No, but I have, an old football coach. He was a personal trainer. I had two football coaches. One was actually my personal trainer, and they always have nice stuff, nice cars, everything. So I know they make some good money.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, do you pay people by the session, by the hour?
I think it's by the session, I'm pretty sure. You pay, like, a certain amount of money per session. I don't pay for mine. He my football coach is like, hey, I want to get you in shape. Just come to the gym. I think it would be good for you. Oh. Like, yeah, keep me out of trouble.
That's a real one.
Yeah, and he's good at what he does, too.
I remember I went to, like, one weights class after school in high school. And I saw these dudes, like, bear crawling down flights of stairs. And I was like, yeah, you know, it seems excessive. Like, I need the beginner's class. And they're like, this is the beginner's class. And I was like, you can get the fuck out of my face.
Nah, the way, there's some intense training. I mean, I remember one day I was doing powerlifting. We got the powerlifting practice. He was like, start running around the building. I'm like, do what? It's cold outside. He's like, start running around the building. We ran like 4 or 5 times in the cold. It's cold as hell. Like, my lungs are hurting from breathing. It's so cold. Mm-hmm. Then we go inside and get our workout in. And those are the tough days. I remember I had an extra tough day. I was squatting, and I chose to wear a pair of boxers. Other than, you know, compression pants, whatever, like the dry fit underwear.
Yeah.
Got to the bottom of that squat, came back up. I felt my boxers rip. I was like, yo, did you just kick me? And they're talking to my spotter. He was like, no, what are you talking about? I was like, I just felt something hit my ass. He was like, bro, I didn't touch you. And so I go in the locker room. I'm like, bro, did I just shit myself? Like, what happened? Bro, my boxers was cut in half, bro. I broke through them motherfuckers. That's how intense the training is.
My boy.
It was a crazy day.
That was you getting baptized into weightlifting, dog.
Man, I said, hey, I think I'm going to go home. I'm having some personal problems. Like, what? I said, bro, I just ripped my drawers. I'm trying to go home. He was like, all right, bro. You can go ahead. You can call me call me weak the rest of the day. He's like, oh, you went home because you ripped your pants. Da-da-da. And, yeah, I ain't got no boxers on. I'm not about to lift with no boxers on, gang.
Nah, dude, fucking. There was always something therapeutic about weightlifting, man.
Yeah, it's just, like, I had a lot of anger built up. Growing up, so I always use it to football. You know, I go on the field to hit people.
Yeah.
Off season, I can't go out in the field to hit people. So I was like, how else can I control this anger without, you know, doing it aggressively or hurting people or hurting myself? So always, the weight room was my coping mechanism. Like, whenever I'm having a bad day, weight room. It's always how it's been.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what helped me not get beat up in school. It was because when I was mad or I had a problem, I was in the weight room. That started getting big, and I could get bullied. So I think that helped me a lot, was like using it as therapy. But honestly, it was better in myself too, not mentally, but physically too.
Yeah, I was like that too, because I remember when I was in grade school, bro, I got picked on a fuck ton, because we moved schools a lot. So, you know, when you're the new kid, people always fuck with you. You don't have any friends, any established groups. So I did the rounds at the Catholic schools in the hood, bro. I was at, like, 9 of the motherfuckers.
Man, that's more than what I've been to.
For, like, I'd be at one for a couple of weeks or a month. Oh, different one. Different one. And I remember at all of them, you know what I'm saying, I always got fucked with. And then by the time I hit middle school, I hit the height that I'm at now. And then, like, when I was 14, I weighed, like, 180 pounds already. I was big as shit. And then, like you said, I just started lifting weights, and I was realizing I'm getting bigger and bigger. All people are messing with me less and less. Mm-hmm. And that kind of went hand in hand. And, I don't know, it was just, like, a confidence thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to get built like them superheroes on the movie, though. I'm not even gonna lie. I ain't stopping till I'm built like Superman. Like, that, looking at other people and what they do, like their workouts and their eating plans and stuff like that, there's a lot that go into it. Yeah, there's people that meal prep, whatever. Honestly, meal prepping don't work for me because you portion out your food. I don't like those little portions. Like, school lunches, they never gave me enough.
Yeah.
Ever. But that was the portion, a serving size. I never went by serving sizes. I always ate until I was full. And when you meal prep, you can't do that.
No, you gotta eat. I've just been thinking about counting calories, bro. And I've been looking into, like, the calories are for serving sizes. So a serving size of rice is a cup of fucking rice, nigga. Like, you gotta be shitting me.
Yeah, that's like a spoonful of rice.
Yes. And the chicken, if you want a piece of chicken, it's gotta be about the size of your palm, which is usually smaller than my palm.
Yeah.
Like, one little piece of chicken and a cup of rice. There was your meal, son.
I'd starve. Like, I've always ate to where I was, well, I couldn't eat no more. And when I was looking at it, I was like, because I told you I was getting big. I think the most I hit was 215, and that was a big mark for me because I'd never been over 200 pounds. And I started looking at myself, and I was like, wow, I'm getting out of hand. You know, I really let myself go. I was eating too good, you know, got a relationship, got too comfortable. And then when the relationship ended, I was more like, damn, I really let myself go. Got fat, had a gut on me, looked like a, like what they call a dad bod. Mm-hmm. I had one, and I was like, man, I got to get rid of this. So that's when I start going to the gym, start working out, then got a job that was more active. Then I went like maybe 2-3 weeks without weighing myself, and I lost like 20 pounds. Like, it's crazy. I was like, nah, I wasn't eating as much. I was working out, you know, working off more calories than I was intaking. So I was burning a lot of body fat.
Was that after a breakup?
It was like a depression stage. Like,
yeah, you're just trying to better yourself after that.
Yeah. It was like, I looked in the mirror and I was like, yeah, I can't do this. If I want to get back out there, you know, at some point, I at least want to be, you know, presentable. Not, you know, looking like I just got pregnant.
Yeah, you got to bring back the golden goose, man.
Man.
The bitches ain't going to pay for 215 pounds, son. Yeah,
I was, man, that 215 pounds was not getting into that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I just put on my headphones, bumping that Rod Wave in the gym, and just, you know, got to it. You know, up the reps each day. At one point, I was waking up in the morning doing 50 push-ups as soon as I get out of bed like a prisoner. Felt like I was in like jail. Like, I woke up, first thing I did was do my push-ups, then, and you know, eat a little breakfast, because I never breakfast person, so I always make myself eat like a breakfast bar, granola bar or something, then go to the gym. That's how my days went.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know, I just fell out the habit. Then, like, I'm cool at the weight I'm at right now, but now I'm at the point where I want to build the muscle up. I was like, man, looking back, I used to have abs. Now I got flabs.
Bro, I was 8 years old. I weighed 90 pounds. I didn't have abs. Abs just haven't been a thing.
Man, I don't know how some people do it. Some people are just born with them, I swear. Like, my little brother, he's literally skeletons and got a little 4-pack. That's it. And he don't work out, no, nothing.
Goddamn genetics, bro.
I was like, damn, you built like a little baby mule.
So, if you were to start a business, it would be around yourself. It would be the personal training thing, you think?
Because I feel like I could always get somewhere with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, like barbers. You know, you barber, they all, as long as you, like, got your barber license, you can make money anywhere. You can make money, like, just cutting people's hair, random clients. All you have to do is find clientele. And I think that's the perfect job for me, is all I got to do is find clientele. I don't have a boss. I don't have somebody I have to talk to every day, ask for permission, you know, do this, that. It's my time. I get clients. I tell them when to come in, get their workout done. Even meal strategies, you know, because in order to get your personal training, you have to know about, you know, all the food, like good foods, bad foods, you know, all that, like the nutrition side too. It's not just weights. It's nutrition, obviously workout plans, and fine clientele.
Then you got to know different body types. What works for some people might not work for other people, shit like that.
Yeah, you just got to figure out this and that, you know, different strategies, different, like different types of workouts for different people. Because I know the workouts that I used to do, some random person off the street couldn't come in there and do those workouts because they're so intense sometimes. Like, remember, he had me like on a band and I was on a treadmill with resistance. That hurt. Like, after that, my legs just felt like I couldn't walk no more. I remember walking to the car looking like my legs was noodles. Like, they was just wobbling. And I just threw up, whatever. Like, I couldn't take no more. And I was like, hey, bro, I got to go home. I smoke too much. Like, I can't do no more. You just read me on that treadmill for, like, 15 minutes with this band. I can't do this no more. Like, I'm going to throw up. I feel unfit, you know. And he kept working with me. He's, you know, to where I could go in there and do that workout and then go do another workout.
He built you up to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when somebody comes in, you know, they, you know, you have to figure out what works for them. You can't just throw them into a random workout. You know, you have to figure out what their strength is and everything. So there's a lot to go into it, but I feel like once I get certified, I'm always going to have work. As long as I have a good place to do my training at, which there's a lot of good, you know, gyms that you can go to. And, yeah, I think once I get everything figured out, I think that would be a good spot for me because I don't have no boss I got to talk to. Because, you know, when you get with a boss, you know, sometimes they get on your nerves. So I think that's – I don't want no boss when I'm older. My career, I want to be my own boss.
Yeah, I think that's good. But I feel like the problem with that, right, is that mentality with nowadays people – everybody feels like they don't want a boss.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like how, like, they told everybody for a long time, everybody's got to go to college, right? The problem is not everybody really needs to go to college. Like, somebody's got to be in the warehouses. Somebody's got to be in the factory. Somebody's got to work for the city. And the problem is a lot of people have the mentality you got, which is the same one I got also, so I'm part of it, is I don't want to, you know, work for a boss, but somebody has to work for the boss.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, like, with social media and shit, like, you're seeing all these people, like, making hella bread, just kicking back with no boss. It's like, well, why the fuck should I have one?
Yeah. Like, like on TikTok, yeah, all I see is people with money and, like, oh, I could, you know, do this or that, like, flexing their money. And it's like, damn, they did this with no boss, no job. Like, they didn't even have a job. They just got all this money. How they got it? Mm-hmm. Obviously they're scammers. Like, that's the only other that's the only other explanation for it, is that they're scamming. Like, there's some people that will pay for what they call sauce, and once you get that sauce, then you can get put on, you can make your own money. And I think the problem with that is all these other people are seeing this like, oh damn, they don't have no job, they don't got no boss, but they got all this money. How do I do that, you know? So I think, you know, that puts that image in people's heads that they don't want a boss. Because look at all these people making thousands of dollars, and they don't got no boss.
I know, and you know what's fucked up about that is that the way the algorithm works is, like, you see, you know, say you see somebody, a workout guy, for example. See a guy, like, doing one of those motivation videos, and he's got, like, you know, a million views. It's got, like, 300K likes. So you see that one guy, right? And he lives in a nice fancy crib. So for every one of those guys, there's literally a million other people doing those exact same things, and they got like 20 views.
Yeah.
Zero likes. But you only see the ones where it's like exponential.
Yeah. I think that's going to be one of the biggest challenges for me, you know, trying to pursue this career, is getting, because at the end of the day, it's the part about getting clientele. If you don't get the clients, then you're not making the money. And that's the part that you don't see, because all these other successful personal trainers are already successful. They already have a bunch of clients. They're already making money. So when they put it out there, they already got it. Mm-hmm. You don't see the struggles that they've been through, you know, working up to that.
Yeah.
You know, at one point they didn't have no clients. But then they got clients and then obviously probably referred other people, or they went out and advertised, you know, show results of what, like, past clients, like, this what they look like when they came in, and now look at them.
Yeah, like, I think the generation today is very impatient. Like, I think you see that and you want that success tomorrow, whereas you didn't see that it took years for them probably to build that type of audience, get that type of clientele.
Yeah, to build that profile for themselves. With the correct results people are coming for. Because there's some people that go to personal trainers that don't get the results that they're looking for. And they don't come back. I think that has to deal with the person. Maybe they weren't, you know, finding what works for them. Or maybe the person just wasn't following the plan. You know, the strategy.
The blueprint.
Yeah. So I just think it just, you know, it just takes time, really. Like,
yeah, because, like, you know my boy Raul that comes on here that cuts hair, right?
Yeah.
So I remember when he was first going to barber school, bro, he was cutting our hair at our cribs. We would go to his crib. And I remember when he got his first job at a chair, like at a shop, right? And I remember he would go weeks, bro, just cutting, like, one nigga's hair a day. It would be, like, or maybe it'd be a couple more, but you know what I'm saying? His day wasn't jam-packed. And I remember he was discouraged about it. But then over time, you know, now it's been a couple years. Now I got to schedule, like, 2 Fridays in fucking advance to go to old dude.
Yeah.
And it's just a process. It builds, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you have good product, it'll slowly...
It'll slowly sell itself. Yes. Like, yeah, for instance, his haircuts will sell themselves. I mean, I can't tell you countless many times I went in public with like, a jacket or a haircut, you know, and people are like, where'd you get that jacket from? Like, oh, yeah, it's my barber's brand. You know that KC, the Killer Creators that Paul got? People are like, where you get that? And I'm like, oh, it's my barber stuff. They're like, oh, that's tight. I need to get me one. Or, hey, who cut your hair? They did a good job, you know? Or what personal trainer you go to, you know? Like, I just think if the product's good, it's going to sell itself. So depending on how determined you are and how good you are at your job, it's going to sell itself.
How good, how consistent, all that shit. I think that's where I kind of fall off with this sometimes, is I'll be dedicated to recording episodes like months in a row, and then out of nowhere, I'll take a month off.
Yeah, I think consistency. Like, I have a friend that did YouTube. His YouTube's actually popping right now. His YouTube name is Just Cryptic. He goes on there and he just started off. He went to I think Olathe schools. He was in Kansas. He's from Kansas. I met the dude. I hung out with him a couple times. You know, I met him through one of my old girlfriend's brothers. They were friends, and he was a cool dude. Whatever, he was doing YouTube. And then he just kept doing it over years. I think it was like 3, 4, 5 years he was doing YouTube. And after that 5 years, he only had, or I think about like 3 years into it, he only had like 3K subscribers. And then all of a sudden, in the next couple of years, he has like 100K. I'm pretty sure he touched 1 million now, or close to 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
But he came from Kansas. He actually made so much money off YouTube that he moved to Florida with his now baby mama and his baby. And it's kind of like inspiring, slash like motivative for me, seeing how long it took him. Like, it didn't, like you said, it didn't happen overnight. It took years to grow the platform that he has to where he actually was able to quit his job at a car dealership and keep pursuing YouTube full time.
Yeah.
And I think that has a big thing to do with consistency. Mm-hmm. He was constantly uploading videos. Maybe he took a year or two off, but when he came back, he was consistent, and that's what grew his fan base. So I think, like, you know, consistency is another big, you know, what's that
component?
Making it.
Yeah, I think I used to think it was like all about luck, right? You get lucky, you get one good video, and then that's it. But low key, you have to also, like you said, you have to have a good product. Because you can get as many people as you want to watch one thing, but to keep them is the key.
Yeah. Like, I got YouTubers I constantly look for videos because, you know, they're good YouTubers. Like I mentioned before, Mr. Beast is the best creator to ever touch a camera.
Yeah.
Because not only does his videos fun to watch, but he's giving away money. Like, all he does is his YouTube channel is just giving away money. Maybe contests to make it fun, but there's stuff to make you intrigued and keep watching. Like, I would search, like, every week I'll look and see if he got some new videos and just watch them all in a day.
Mm-hmm.
and I keep coming back because his videos are so good and they're consistent. Maybe he may take like a week or two to upload another video, but when it comes out, you understand, he just spent $600,000 for this video, and it takes time. You know, he had to get the sponsors, he had to get the place rented out, he had to get the people, he had to, you know, all this other stuff. And you know, the consistency, the making me stay, because like stay watching his videos because they're so good, and each video is not the same. I mean, it's his same concept, you win money, but it's a different one, it's a different challenge or a different thing each time, like hide and seek or tag, or you know, simple games we used to play as kids, but now all of a sudden there's a $600,000 prize, $1 million prize, a yeah. brand new house, you know,
real simple shit too, yeah. like keep your hand on the car first, want to take your hand off,
yeah, and it keeps you intrigued. Like content creators like that, you know, aren't lucky, because you watch Mr. Beast's old videos, he's literally sitting there counting to 1 million or 1,000 or whatever it was. He was just counting numbers on video, like just on his phone or whatever it was. It was low quality. He's just counting.
Well, I was watching, he went on Joe Rogan recently, and I was looking at his podcast, and he said him and like a handful of dudes got together one day and literally just like studied like what makes viral videos.
Yeah.
For like weeks. They were just like, what goes into the thumbnail? Does it help if the video's brighter, if it's a little bit darker? How many people should be in it? How many words should we get in? How long should the intro be? All that shit they like really researched. And like, so that's part of like saying like how it's not luck. They put work in yeah. to get to that point.
Like, everything he got, he earned.
Yeah.
Like, there was no luck against him. But then there are lucky people, like, one-hit wonders.
The Island Boy kids.
Yeah, like they're everywhere. But in a couple years, Island Boys aren't going to be, or even, like, maybe next month, the Island Boys could fall off.
Low-key, they're already kind of gone.
Yeah, like, they ain't popped up on my For You page in a long time. They used to be all that popped up on my For You page with the Island Boys, whatever, like, the song, whatever, just trolling. And I just think they got, those are the lucky ones that got lucky, because people, I wouldn't even call it luck, because the only reason they blew up was because people were laughing at them. They weren't laughing with them, they were laughing at them, because they were kind of like big old trolls, or oh, this want to be gangster, or I got money, I'm flexing this and that, you know, like kind of like a Little Pump kind of, you know, Little Pump, you know how he's flexing all his money, oh, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci, you know, they're catchy. And then the Island Boys had their own little catchy island, you know. Man, so you know, they get lucky and they just fall off. But Mr. Beast, I think he's going to be here for a while because his videos are good. And mm-hmm. he's making millions of dollars off of it. But at the same time, how much do you think he profits off these videos?
Ungodly amount, bro.
And he gives away $1 million and still walks away with $1 million, pretty much.
It's just, anytime he gives away money, he's still making back probably 10 times what he's giving away.
Man, like you said about the sponsors. With every couple of thousand videos,
and when you're big like that, he's probably getting like $20 for every 5,000 people watching or some shit.
And he has like 23 million subscribers, like 30 million subscribers. Like, he's up there. And he has multiple channels with a lot of subscribers.
The motherfucker bought a warehouse, bro.
Yeah, that's nuts. Like, nuts. Just off YouTube. Just making videos. Like, that's the simplest job ever. Make videos. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. You know, he has to pay editors, you know, all this other stuff.
I think when you get to that point, it's easy. Like, once you have the bread to do that. But, yeah. like, as somebody who's doing it all, like, out of my own laptop, bro, it's a bitch.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time. I know you're at this computer for at least 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, because, like, even after we record this, so this takes a couple hours in and of itself. And then to edit it takes another, you know, hour. And then to render it, to have it come out and be a file, takes another hour. Go do whatever, come back, okay, now put it up on the different platforms.
Do you have like a certain site you go to that you just upload it all to everything?
Yeah, it's a hosting website.
Yeah,
you get like a little link and you just like copy and paste it in all these different Spotify, Apple.
Yeah, so that makes it easier. Yeah, because I've seen like I told you, my friends were releasing music and stuff. And they had this website they go to, and they just upload it and uploads to Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, all that.
It's a lot easier than you think it'd be.
Yeah, other than just reposting it on every platform, you can just do it all at once.
Yeah. But no, man, I'm still not sure what direction I want to take this in. Because, like I said, I enjoy talking about the movies. It's fun to me.
Yeah.
But I know that sometimes it can come off as repetitive.
Yeah. Like, switch it up every now and then. Maybe, I don't know what.
Like, because I catch myself, I make the clips, so I know what parts, I enjoy more, right? And it's usually, it has nothing to do with the movie. It's the in-between shit. The stories, the random jokes, the goofier shit. But it's like, how do you channel to be just that, you know?
Yeah, like what was I gonna say? I've lost my train of thought. Damn. What were you saying?
My favorite parts are the clips.
Oh, yeah. I was, after every time we, do the podcast, I'll go back on YouTube and watch them full through, and I have some friends that'll do it too, and they say, the podcast is, really, it's funny, they watch it, they like it. Mm-hmm. And it's because we do that stuff, and we don't just talk about the movie like a movie critic or something like that. Yeah, those are good. I think the podcast is the best of both of them. We do the movie critics, we rate the movie, we talk about the movie, and we also add our own stories in.
So that could be kind of our shtick.
Yeah.
I think that's what I think of. It's more of a movie review, but with humor. It's just, it's not really serious.
Because when I'm sitting down, if I want to watch a movie review and I know they're only talking about the movie, then
that can get stale.
Yeah, it can get, boring. Okay, I've already watched the movie, and you're just telling me everything I already know. Or I'm going to go watch the movie, you're just telling me everything that's coming up. It's just, might as well just go watch the movie. Watch it again if I want to, the reviews is boring.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to is it's the energy I put forth, because I can put a spin and make anything kind of goofy. Say we're going to talk about Batman. My main concern with Batman, right, is what if he has to shit really fast? Is it possible?
Let me just pull this armor suit down real quick and just.
Does he take off the cape? Does he throw it over his shoulder and is he hugging it?
Does he take the mask off when he shits, or does he keep the mask on? Definitely stays on.
Fucking do the gloves stay on? Yeah,
does he wipe his ass with the gloves on?
Is it one suit or is the pants separate? It has to be all one suit, because he'd be showing ass cracks if he didn't.
Is he a wipe forward type of guy or wipe backwards type of guy?
Definitely backwards. Does he stand up, stay sitting?
Does he hover? Does he crouch?
Speaking of that, that's a really important thing. When you wipe, bro, do you stand or do you stay sitting?
Fuck, no, I'll sit. I'm comfortable. I'm not going to stand up.
Nah, dude, I stand and crouch. I do a full L.
He said it like the chair's there, but it's not.
Yeah, I hover. I didn't know that was a thing. I looked it up and it was there's a legitimate split. Some people, half the world stands, half the world sits.
Dude, what the fuck? I didn't know you could stand to watch your ass.
I'm telling you, bro, that fucked me up when I found out people sit.
Bro, if you stand straight up to wipe your ass, bro, you gotta spread your cheeks before you wipe, or how you go about that, bro? You stand it up.
Hold the cheeks open, bro.
Open door.
Yeah. Use one hand, pull the other one. Use the other hand, pull the other cheek.
Dude, how you wiping, bro? You only got two hands.
It's a gift.
That third hand comes out of nowhere.
Put the toilet paper on the door and just spread the cheeks right on it.
Imagine having one of those toilets that spray your ass. You're not used to sitting down. You gotta stand up to get your ass squirted.
Man. Imagine having so much money you pay a dude. We were talking about this at work. We have a butler and you just he has to take a glass full of water and spit it in your ass.
To clean. I want one of the Chinese toilets, but I don't want to go buy one. Come here, butler.
The butler just got a fucking.
Imagine Batman doing that.
He had enough money, bro.
He could have. Mm-hmm.
But no, that's just the weird shit I think of when I think of movies. And like I said, I could think of stuff like that just on point, just for all the shit.
Yeah, it would actually be funny than just sitting here criticizing the movie all the time. Yeah, this movie is good. Tell you about the movie, but again, I'm gonna put a spin on it. Because if we're sitting here talking about the movie the whole time, you're gonna lose interest. Mm-hmm. Or just be like, fuck it, I'm going to go watch the whole movie myself. Why should I sit here and listen to you talk about the movie when I can go?
That and, like, we didn't go to film school. We don't understand film. We don't understand. I mean, I understand character development well as a storyteller. But, like, the average person probably wouldn't. Maybe that's something interesting they like to hear about. Or fucking music and shit, like soundtracks. Oh, that's something I forgot. I'm going to change the subject. I was reading about something, right, called the holographic universe theory. You heard of this?
No.
See, when I heard that, I thought it was the same thing as simulation theory. You know what simulation theory is, right?
Kind of, briefly.
It's like the Matrix. We're all the Matrix. That's what simulation theory is. So I thought that's what holographic theory was, because the article I read said something like black holes prove that the holographic theory might be real. And what the holographic theory is that we're all actually living in a 2D world. Everything is flat, but our vision makes it look like we're seeing everything in 3D. So just looking straight at me right now, if this was a 2D thing, like,
you'd be like flat.
It's flat.
Yeah.
And like, there's just little tricks that make it look like it's full, but low key, every time your hand is turning, you're just seeing 2D.
Yeah. That makes you think a little bit.
I know, it kind of fucked me up, bro. It's because, like, I'm going to fuck this up. I guarantee I'm going to say it wrong. But because, like, black holes are, like, you know, they're these circular things, and it protrudes downwards, kind of like a basket almost, like where the black hole would be.
Yeah.
That's the only true 3D image in our, like, universe. So everything else is 2D. It's flat. Like, scientists say it's, like, a 45% chance that's a thing.
What the 45? That's crazy.
I know, bro. My mind went fucking, nigga, for like a couple of days. I would just stare at shit, just like,
man, are you flat? Are you round?
Like, you really think about it. Like I said, like when you're in fixed positions, just looking straight, like you only see a 2D image.
Yeah, this microphone, pretty round, but when you look around it, but you look like,
I know that like fucked up my whole day.
Like, yeah, like that's what I was saying too. Like, there was a song I was listening to on the way here. It was on my playlist. It was a Rod Wave song, and he mentioned, like, you only know what you're taught. Like, you only know what you're taught. Like, if somebody teaches you the wrong, is that your fault or is it their fault? You know, like, you followed it, but they taught you. And it's just kind of like, if somebody teaches you the wrong thing, they set you up for failure. But is that really their fault because you went along with it? Or is that your fault? Or, like, you know, whose fault is it? You never know, because you only know what you're taught. And sometimes that could be a disadvantage. You know, just hearing those lyrics, I was like, damn, that's really spitting facts. Like, you only, like, from the day you're born, you only know what you're taught. If you don't learn something, you don't know it. And it just makes you sit there and, like, damn.
That's deep for a Rod Wave song, bro.
Yeah, it's real weak. What'd you say?
Deep.
Deep, yeah, so weak. Deep.
Whenever I think of Rod Wave, bro, I can't listen to a lot of Rod Wave, just because me, a lot of it sounds the same.
Yeah, his music is the same, like, kind of, but at the same time, like, I'm more of, like, a music person. I love music. I listen to music. I'm not a lyric is getting past me. Like, there's some lyrics that you just hear, like, oh, that was hard as fuck. Let me rewind it real quick. Like, bro, like, I mean, this young 14-year-old was like, they gonna think that it's World War II, by the way, 1500 go slide with a cannon. I'm like, World War II cannon. Like, hey, this nigga is hard. He's 14 years old. Talk about, you know, making these different figurative language, but it's actually hard. Like, you know, I have to hear every bar. Like, not a bar is gonna get past me. If it's hard, if it's a hard punchline, I'm gonna call it out. Like, whoa, like, there's one I can't remember what song it was. Oh, it was that new NBA Youngboy song where he was dissing everybody in there. And I heard, like, some of the punchlines he was using and how he was mentioning the people he was dissing. I'm dead ass when I tell you, I paused the song, got out the car, ran around the car yelling, like, oh, he's fire. We were parked at a hotel. We were smoking with my friends. We were just hotboxing the car, listening to music. First time I heard the song, paused the song, got out the car, ran around the car, like, oh, this is fire. Got back in the car. Like, just over-exaggerating, but it was hard. Like, it was fire. The whole song was fire.
Bro, you know the hardest lyric I ever heard someone say, like, in my personal life, like, watching them record? It was Pook when we were, like, 17. And we were still recording on, like, the microphone of the MacBook. of this old ass white MacBook. And I remember Pook's, his bar was, he did a whole verse, and at the end of it, his last couple of bars were, "Ain't shit changed, I'm still the same old G. Like a public bathroom, I'm still the same old P. Got locked up for a minute and did a little sense, but now I'm making money, period." Whoa, hold on. "Ain't shit changed, I'm still the same OG. Like a public bathroom, I'm still that same old P."
Like, bro, no, that's hard. Man. That's hard. That would have been one of the verses I got out the car. Like, oh, wow, he just did that.
I was like, he said that, yo.
Like, bro, hey, run that back one more time. Like, you ever heard a verse in a song that you just have to restart the whole song just because that verse was so hard? That would have been one of them songs. I'd have had to listen to the whole song just for the last four bars.
Shit, bro, fucking, I was never big on music, dog. That's kind of why I don't do it, like, a whole lot. Because I always like listening to different genres. Like, I listen to rock music and shit all day, or punk music, or just anything for real. But, like, rap specifically, I never wanted to start biting other niggas' shit.
Yeah, I like, when I hear other people rap and stuff like that, and I hear some of the same lyrics recycled from other rappers, it's like, wow, he's just biting this dude's flow or biting his lyrics. It's not unique to him. He's just, you know, just using somebody else's stuff. And that's the type of music that I don't like. I like more, like, I listen to different, like, I wouldn't say different genres. Like, you know, you listen to punk rock, stuff like that. That music I never really got into because it's so, like, different. And as a writer, it'd be good to get into different kind of music because it prepares you for anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go any type of flow, which I listen to, you know, a little bit of this or that. Like, I remember one time I was even listening to heavy metal, like that screaming in the mic, loud instruments, you know, just to see what it was like, you know, explore different types of music. Mm-hmm. Ended up not liking it, don't listen to it, but it's still, you know, it'd be good to listen to different types of music. Like you said, you listen to different genres. You can probably flow any type of way. You can, you know, you have that unique flow.
It expands the palette to where I hear different sounds than, like, you would hear.
Yeah. See, me, I listen to, you know, like, trap melody kind of music, or, like Toosie, you know, stuff like that.
Well, I mean, we can call it what it is, bro. Because even when I was in high school, that shit wasn't cool, nigga. It wasn't. It's not cool. It's still not cool.
It's not like cool.
It's not the end thing right now, bro.
Like, everybody, it just seems like everybody wants to be rappers now, and that they're coming out with this, like, some of the artists sound like the artists before them, and it doesn't intrigue me into your music at all. It's just like, wow, he's just doing the same thing the other guy did.
Yeah, because, like, pretty much, here's what fucks me up about today's rap, is how much of it is just about the beat.
Yeah.
It's 99% the beat, 1% how you're flowing, 0.5%, like, the content.
Yeah, like, now, like, if you listen to songs, there's not very much storytelling. They're all the same. Got the drugs, got the gun, got the women, got the, you know, money.
Think of any TikTok song, bro.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's about women, money, drugs, you know, all guns, like, all that.
And mind you, none of that means anything. It's just background noise for the beat.
Yeah.
That background noise has to match what is popping today.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Like, my music choice, like, I listen to a lot of rappers that I can relate to. Or, like, that I hear something, it's like, damn, he really just stole the words right out of my mouth. Big artist for me, like I mentioned before, Juice WRLD. You can tell by the way I rap, he influenced me a lot. And, like, I wouldn't say I bite his flow, but I flow a lot like him. And, like, if I freestyle, you know, it's kind of like his. He could go on for a while. I can go on for a while just shit-talking. It's not hard. All you got to do is find the word that rhymes with the last word. Anything else could you, you know.
Bro, I'm so salty about Juice WRLD because, like, I feel like he put the whole mental health rap, like, on the map. And I feel like I've been rapping about my mental since, like, 2008.
Man, and it's like, the way he did it, just, I think it was a big part of his voice. His voice, he just had the voice, like how you have voice to, you have a voice that reminds me of like a radio talk host. Like, you know, you feel comfortable around the mic. You have a good voice. You don't stutter. Everything comes out nice and clean. Mm-hmm. That's how it did for him when he rapped. All he had to do was get a little bit of drugs in his body and he was flowing for hours.
Like, man, he did have a fucking, like, and he could do the singing thing just right.
Yeah, he could sing. Like, his raw vocals wasn't bad either. He didn't need no auto-tune. His raw vocals was enough. and along with the beat and the production, whatever, made the song flawless. Mm-hmm. Like, any song that he released, it's hard to think that was freestyle. Like, he really just sat down and freestyled all these songs off his head. That's what made me jealous. Like, he has so many unreleased songs, because I'm a big Juice fan, so my unreleased playlist to him is over 200 songs that aren't even released yet. They're just out there because all his music got leaked. And there's some songs that are like, wow, he could have did better. But then again, you got to realize this is all freestyle.
Well, yeah, that's like if, because say for every, I don't know, 50 songs I make, I probably really fuck with like 15 of them.
Yeah.
So imagine if like all 50 of those got put out, I'm probably like, oh, I wish that one would have stood in there.
Yeah, but that's the thing about him, is he could just do it and he was not embarrassed of anything. Like, he could freestyle for hours and just keep going. Mm-hmm. Just keep going and keep going. And yeah, he might say some of the same stuff, but differently. And that's what really just got me, is some of the shit he was saying off the dome was like, I could relate to. Like, he was just like, damn, he must have read my mind through the screen or something. Or
I think what hurts like guys like that, right, like him or like XXXTentacion and all them, right, is how young they were. Is like, I think at first it starts off as being like really, you know, it is like a peek into their psyche. But then once you create that, right, people want more of it. And I think it becomes kind of like, it's the word I'm looking for. It's kind of, it becomes a character you create.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, you got a song called I'm Sad. Who am I? Sad and lonely. Yeah. Like, nigga, like, we get it, bro. Like, you said it so much better in all these other songs, but then all of a sudden it's become like, I have a song called Super Depressed.
Yeah, or those songs listed on the way, Lil Pop, he's like, blessed, I guess. Like, yeah, we get it. You said you were blessed in a lot of the songs. You got shot and you lived. You're blessed. Mm-hmm. You know, he just says all this other stuff, and, you know, a lot of artists do that too. But I think what made Juice WRLD unique from all the other people was the way he could just switch it up. Like, if you listen to some of his old songs, like one of the first songs he put out, Forever, it was a love song. And it was like, what, 6 minutes long. 6 minute long song. Listen to that motherfucker on repeat, like, all day. Had that on repeat all day. And he don't just have one flow. And if you listen to some of his features, like, he did a lot of features with G Herbo because they were both from Chicago. Every song that he did with G Herbo was crazy. Like, he wasn't talking about no sad shit, nothing. He was, you know, hype, you know, he had that hype. Just like how X had that song where he was like, can't keep my dick in my pants. You know, that song that blew up, he wasn't sad in that one. He was just, you know, talking reckless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes artists separate from the rest. Like, that's why he got so popular, is he has different flows. Like, he can switch it up mid-song. Mm-hmm. Like, versatile.
That is unique, because a lot of dudes just kind of stick with the same thing.
Yeah, like, when you hear me, all my songs kind of sound the same, but they're catchy. Mm-hmm. His were catchy, but different, too. Like, he rap fast and then go slow. Or go slow and then go fast. And that like, listening to a lot of music, it makes you appreciate that more, because it's like, wow, he's crazy talented.
As like a musician,
yeah,
or a lyricist or a songwriter, however you want to call it,
yeah,
that is harder to do.
Yeah, and when he freestyled, he also tells stories too. Like, how you're a story rapper, like, you rap and you rap about a story. He did that, but you know how we have to sit down and write it out and, you know, figure out what goes where. He did that off the top of the dome.
That is next level. I always wondered, like, how that works. Do you think it's more who you know? Or
what?
Like, because we know a lot of people that make music.
Yeah.
And none of them are fucking Juice WRLD.
None of them.
So what did they do wrong to not be in that position? Is it living on the coast? Is it where you live?
Maybe he was just gifted. Maybe he was just gifted. Like, at the end of the day, because I've asked myself.
I like that answer, bro. Too. I think he was just better.
I can do what he did, but he does it better. Yeah. Like, there's no, like, you can't compare anybody to him because how many songs he released. Like, I was watching, like I'll tell you, I watched documentaries, I watched videos and stuff like that, clips. producers talking about Juice WRLD. They even say we play the same beat three times and he has three different songs right there on the same beat. Like, just differently.
That's on that Jay-Z shit. Like, that's how he did, like, 99 Problems and stuff.
Yeah.
He was in the studio with, like, this legendary, like, Dr. Dre-type producer, and he's this old white man who, like, recorded the Beatles and shit. And the white dude was like, did he write any of the shit down? And they're like, nah. And as he's, like, rapping 99 Problems, he's, like, in the background while he's in the studio, like, did he write any of the shit? And he's like, nope.
Yeah, that's what I watched, a little bit of, like, how they engineered, like, whenever he was, like, doing the music in the booth, like, he would rap. And then say if he said something he ain't like, run that back real quick. Left, drop me in at this part. And he just keep freestyling the rest. And I'm like, bro, how you go into a studio with no pen and pad and just go crazy?
Mm-hmm.
That right there, I think that's what made me like him so much. Is not only is he, not only can I relate to this stuff, but he also does it good. And it sounds good. And all that's one thing with the music with me, like music that I like has to sound good and it has to either give me hype or have to relate to it. And that's the music that I like. That's why I can't listen to punk rock or heavy metal or stuff like that, because, or like I could listen to a little bit of country because like I said, I could relate to it and it sounds good.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm real big on the relate or get me hype or get me in a mood where I want to do something. Like if I'm like before football games, when I was in played for high school football, we'd always play at least one song that was the same before every pregame, and it was the Dreams and Nightmares by Meek Mill, because that song got you so hyped up in the locker room, ready to go out there and kick some ass. If the song isn't like that, or if I can't sit there and be like, damn, I feel his pain because I've been through the same shit, then I really don't like the music. Other than like mainstream artists like NBA YoungBoy or Lil Durk or you know, them that rap and put out consistent good music, I can't relate to some of the stuff, but it sounds good and it gets me hype.
Yeah, I think that's why you guys are lucky nowadays with like playlists and shit, because when I was growing up, bro, the only music that was out was ringtone rap. So it was Soulja Boy, Lil Wayne's music. Really, that was it. 50 Cent, like old 50 Cent.
Yeah.
That was like the most of it. There wasn't streaming, wasn't a big thing. YouTube was only for those specific rappers for their music to get bigger. So the pool was smaller to pick from what you fuck with. So at that point, all that is flexing rap. Yeah. And me, you know, I was like, that wasn't my personality. I wasn't like a big flexer. So I was like, all right, fuck it. So that's why I just listened to, like, a lot of emo music and shit. I was like, I'm in my feelings all the time. This works perfect.
Yeah.
As opposed to now, you got, like, all these... And the only thing I did like was 90s rap. Like, old Eazy-E, N.W.A., Cypress Hill.
I think 90s rap was untouchable. Like, even this new generation couldn't touch 90s rap. Just because of how unique it is. You know, they were the West Coast flows. You know, all the, like... all the big artists back then, I'd still listen to their song now, like what they call baby making music. I know you know what the baby making music is, like Mario, Neo.
I never fuck with any of it, bro.
Like those are just classics that I can mess with. Like I'll put that on when I'm getting a little down and dirty. Like I'll put that song on, like some songs on, the background noise in the background. And it's good music. I wouldn't just put no music on.
Talking about like Omarion and all that shit.
Yeah, like those type of music. Like I just think that generation right there, or that genre of rap, that R&B, you know, slow love type stuff. That was, you know,
that was untouchable. Now
untouchable.
That I think about
yeah,
it.
And untouchable.
Like the late 90s, 2000s, bro. That shit was
nobody's
next level.
Doing that now. Nobody's rapping about taking ladies out, you know, treating them whatever, you know, getting down and dirty, you know, in a respectful way. Now it's just like I'm dogging these hoes. This is what it is.
You know where I got fucked up early on is some of the rap I was really into when I was in like middle school, bro, was like that MC Magic, MB Rider shit. You know what that is? It's basically like Chicano slow jams.
Mm.
Like niggas using that talk box, that little chipmunky voice and shit. And the only thing them niggas rapped about was, like, it was the corniest shit known to man, bro. It wasn't, because, you know, like, a lot of, like, the mainstream, like, love songs was, like, we getting down in the bedroom, take your clothes off, all that shit.
Yeah.
And these Mexican dudes, bro, they were all, like, take you to the movie, take you home, respect your mother.
Meet the parents.
I want to hold your hand, give you a peck on the cheek.
But the hey, that's low-key hard. Like,
bro, it's just shit like that.
It's have corny, you, but it's hard.
And it was just real cheesy shit, bro. And that was like my reference for music at that time. And it was funny because if you listen to the old songs me and Cody used to make together, you would hear that we do love songs together, and all of his songs are about fucking. And then my part would be like, I'm going to take you to the movies. Shit like that, you know?
Hey, that's hard. That's hard.
But, nah, just a whole different time, man.
Yeah, I think, like, that's why there's so many artists now that are trying to, you know, make it on SoundCloud and stuff like that. And I ain't gonna lie, some of these people are garbage. Some of them should never touch a microphone in their life. But, then again, I don't want to hate on other people grind because I'm doing the same thing. But, I'll hear people's music, like, damn, how does he have 5K views? But I'm not putting music out because I'm scared to get criticized. Or I'm scared to be like, oh, this is another one of those Juice WRLD wannabes. You know, like, you know, comparing me to Juice. Like I said, nobody can touch Juice at all. Or, like, that's why I never really released any music. Like, I know we've recorded some songs in the past, and, you know, like, the songs that you, like, yeah, you might want to keep this one in the vault, you know? Like that Cruising song, that would have been so much better if I could get the right voice. But I didn't have the voice for that at the time, so I think if I redid, you know, some of those songs from back then, it'd be better. Mm-hmm. But like, I've just always been scared to put stuff out there and be like, get the wrong feedback that I want. Like, when I put music out, I want people like, oh, this is fire. Like, my friend Mally that does music, when he released music, that shit's fire. You know, like, damn, like, I did not know he could do this. That's the reaction that I want from people, but I'm scared of the negative reaction.
Bro, I got to take you on, like, a tour of my voice and show you, like, how self-conscious I was and how different my voice is and, like, throughout the years.
Yeah.
And it's true, bro. Like, you don't get confidence until you know what your actual voice is. Yeah. You still probably don't know what your voice is, bro.
I know I ain't found it because when I'm recording and I'm like,
you're making your voice deeper. Sometimes it's lighter, yeah, and it's...
Or it's like a vibe, or, you know, try to do this or that, and it don't sound right. But I'm like, I could do this better. I know I can. I made this damn song. I can do this better. But it's just the fact that my confidence gets in the way so much. And it's like, what if I put this out there and then people are like, oh, this is hot ass. Like, hot ass. Like, garbage. Throw this song in the trash. Delete it. You know? That's my worst fear. That's my worst fear.
Well, niggas are going to say that regardless. There's somebody who's going to say that. No matter what you do.
But lately, I have been getting my confidence boosted. Like I said, like, I show my friends some of my songs and shit like that. Like, oh, yeah, this fire. Oh, this is the best song you made yet.
Keep in mind, though, those are your people.
Yeah, that's another reason that I don't really, like, you know, go with my gut. Like, I know my best friend. I call him every song. Some of these songs are garbage, looking back at it. And he was like, oh, this fire. I'm like, oh, so you're lying to me, nigga. Like, you're lying. Like... Mm-hmm. It's just that part, like, I need honest feedback. So I'll send it to, like, you, or I'll send it to Cody, or... Because I know Cody's going to criticize me anyways. I showed him the pouring and the on my own. I heard better. Like, damn. All right, bro.
Bro, you should see how my girl does Cody whenever we're recording. It's the funniest fucking thing.
Oh, how Tiff does Cody is funny.
Nah, bro. Me and Cody will record a song at his crib, and then we'll come out and we'll show him on his speaker, right? And my girl will go, you sound good, but you got to take this nigga off. He fucks it up. Take him off.
Yeah, I think nobody would do that to Cody, so I think he need that criticism.
Yeah. But nah, my girl's just a hater.
I feel like that's how a lot of girls are.
Yeah.
I met one girl, and I still talk to this girl. Like, she's my girl. We're not dating, but she's my girl. And she supports my music. Like, I show her some of my music, like, you know, just get honest feedback, because I know she won't lie to me. She'll tell me if it's, you know, good or not. And I'll show her and this and that, and she'll give me positive feedback. And I know it's, like, not, like, you know, sugarcoating shit, because she'll tell me how it is. I'm like, hey, if this is garbage, it's garbage. If it's good, it's good. And that's the only female that I ever met that I, you know, that really messes with, or, like, will give me good feedback and really, like, give me honest, like, opinions on how, like, it sounds. And she messed with my music too. And she's always telling me, when are you going to release music? When are you going to release music? Like, I need this song. Like, you know, it's good. I can relate to it too. Like, that's really been boosting my confidence lately.
Here's the thing though, man. You're saying a lot of key words that I'm hearing, which is like, I need positive feedback. At the end of the day, the only person whose criticism matters is your own.
Yeah, that's...
You have to be comfortable putting the shit out. Because if you're doing it based off of what other people are saying, the second somebody else tells you it's hot ass...
Yeah.
Deflates all that shit.
That's like... I got some friends, like... The first song I ever made, I didn't even record it. It was so ass. But, like, the first song I ever made, it was like... New niggas trying to hop on the wave, trying to change for the money and the fame. Like, that shit was hot ass. Like, looking back at it, it was hot ass. And I had some friends that were like, bro, that's not it. You know, like, yo, that shit's not it. And looking back at it, like, I get jokes here and there with my friends or my brother who would, like, come and start singing that song. I'm like, all right, enough.
All right, but think of it like this. You're looking for a response in a small pool of people, right?
Yeah.
Say if you put out a song and the same people are saying, you know, that's not it. But say if that song was to blow up on TikTok and now all of a sudden all their friends are fucking with it. People in other states are fucking with it. Then all of a sudden, don't you think they're going to go like, okay, I kind of hear it.
Yeah, that's another thing I've been looking at. Like, there's a Kansas City artist that's blown up on TikTok right now. You ever heard of Sleazy? Mm-mm. Sleazy World Go? He's a Kansas City rapper. His baby mama went to my old school. She graduated, I think, when I was in, like, 8th grade or freshman or something like that. They're relatively young, like, maybe, like, 20, 22, or 22, 23 type, you know, around there. And his song is blown up on YouTube, or not YouTube, but TikTok right now. And I'm like, yo, I'm scrolling through my For You page, and I'm hearing a Kansas City rapper on TikTok. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, just one song. And it was out for a while. This song has been out for, like, a couple years. Or a year or something like that. And now all of a sudden it's blowing up. And like that's not his top song now. Mm-hmm. If you look on Apple Music, it's his top song. And hearing that, and I was like, yeah, I really got to start pushing music out here. You know, not all feedback's going to be positive. People have their own opinions. But at the end of the day, like I said, I make my music, I record my music, but I keep it for me. Because at the end of the day, I'm making my music for me. I'm banging that shit in the car. Full blast.
Yeah,
you know, I have some friends that I'll send it to, like, hey, here's my song, you know, that I ask for, like, let me get that song, bro, that's fire. So I send it to them, and then only select people have the song. But if I upload it, you know, I'm gonna get positive feedback. I know I'm also gonna get negative feedback, just like how you were talking about, you know, you were on streaming or the whatever you seen that was that TikTok video, how you those negative comments just stuck with you.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I am, because I'm a real big shit talker. Somebody talks shit back, I'm snapping back.
Nah, bro. You know, it was a bigger fear for me than that. Even worse than, like, if people were talking shit, calling garbage. So I've always held firm in this belief that the only reason I didn't become a famous rapper is because I didn't put the music out. And I used to say it was because I was nervous about what people would think. Now, here's a more, like, scary thought to me. I put the music out, nobody notices. And nothing happens.
See, that's not really fear. Like, that's not one of my fears. Because I know at the end of the day, the people that fuck with my music is going to fuck with my music. The people that don't, nah. And that's cool. I'm going to have haters. I'm going to have people that really mess with it. I wouldn't call them fans, but supporters. You know?
You have people that will help you push the shit.
Like, yeah. Like, I'll have supporters that will help me push it, whatever. You know, have friends that shoot music videos. Offered to shoot it for cheap, people that offered to even pay for studio time for me, and I just been so shy and in my box. So I didn't want to go. I wanted to get comfortable before I do anything, because one of my biggest things on my bucket list before my time comes up on this earth, like I want to be able to perform at a show. Like I told you, I want to be able to perform at a show. I don't, you know, people. I don't care if they don't know my lyrics, but one of my friends is doing a show, the one that. I showed you that cover art for. He's ended up doing the show here soon, and I'm just like, wow, he's doing this. Not very many subscribers on YouTube, maybe over a little bit over 1,000. You know, a little bit of SoundCloud plays, like, you know, in the couple thousands, and he's doing shows in Kansas City, and it's like, this is my boy. Why can't I do this? Mm-hmm. So that's really what's lit the fire under my ass lately.
Well, bro, then you're fucking eight, dog. If I was you, I'd be trying to do everything right now. Nigga.
Yeah, because I was looking, like, I was talking to one of my friends the other day. Like, I was like, you know, my uncle and his brother-in-law's music is hard. Like, if they would have released it, or I feel like they was in the, promoted their music in the wrong generation. Like, if you guys were a generation later, you guys would have been hard. Because, like I said, I mess with some of your songs, like the 90s Babies, the Rampage, the Cold One, but that one's released. Crank the Box, I thought y'all was gonna release those ones. I thought they was gonna do numbers. Y'all ended up not releasing. I'm like, bro, all these good songs they got in the vault that they never released, that if you guys released, I think that they'd do numbers.
Fucking fuck around and make videos for him 10 years later.
Man, like, yeah, like when you guys shot the music videos for, like, what'd you do? The If I Should Die Tonight music video.
Yeah. And oh, then, bro, that shit was gritty.
Hey, that, it was gritty, too. And the one you guys made for Dennis.
Yeah.
Those were gritty. Those were this show, like.
Those are nasty-ass songs, bro.
Yeah, and they were hard. Like, mad hard. Like, the video wasn't, like, high quality, but it was still hard because it showed y'all was gritty. It looked like it was recorded on, like, an Android.
Looked like we was in the cuts and the motherfuckers.
Yeah, and I think, like, the If I Should Die Tonight song was hard. Like, especially Yo verse, bro. That movie, that was hard.
That intro is fucking. I remember all my songs, dude. If I Should Die Tonight, I Hope You Taste Every Falling Raindrop, because yeah. I'll be in the sky trying to piss on the rocks. Right spot.
That shit was hard. Yeah. Wait, you said piss on the right spot? Or
piss
you said,
on the right spot.
That's what you said? Yeah, yeah, that shit's hard. Yeah, yeah, that shit's hard. I thought you said I was in the sky trying to piss on the rocks. I was like, yo.
Piss on the right spot. Yeah. Like, that nigga was trying to catch raindrops with his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hard. See, like, some of them songs, like, you released them, and I feel like if you guys had the right promotion of promoting your music and stuff like that, you guys could have made it easily.
Yeah, like, I feel like at your age and when we were younger, that was the time, nigga, when it was like you do a random show in Oklahoma, a random show in Texas. You hop in your car, you go over there, you do it for the night. Like, that was when you fuck around and just have fun like that, bro.
Yeah, and that's what I'm at right now, trying to do that stuff at the what I'm trying to do.
Where's my date go? Mm-hmm. Nah, man. Yeah, just making songs. And I remember that's what my cousin Josh really always said. He was like, we never had visuals. Visuals would have been a big thing, making videos. Like you said, you got people that do that, man. Like, just make it look professional.
Yeah, and I like, even when I'm on YouTube looking for new music, like I said, I like hearing new music. Go on YouTube and refresh my feed, and I listen to so much music, they give me recommended music. Just like, I have tabs on my YouTube, like, under the search bar, there'll be, like, different tabs, like, beats, music, instrumentals. Like, that's how my YouTube's set up. And so, like, if I click on beats, it has all these beats, like, kind of, like, similar to what I've been listening to. And, or, like, same with music, like, type of music. The one thing that gets me to click on the music is the video. If the video's hard, I'm going to click on it. And that's how I find a lot of rappers that I listen to. It's from YouTube. And their video is what caught my eye. And I listen to the song and it's hard. So I go listen to some of the other songs and I add them to my playlist. And that's what I do. I look at what I do and that's how I want to put my stuff out there. So if I'm looking at people's video and their videos are good, I want to have a good video. I want a good thumbnail. I want good quality, you know? Like that, all different stuff that goes into being able to get people to click on the video. That's I want to make sure I get everything perfect before I start doing it. So right now, yeah, I'm making my songs. I'm going to have all these songs that I have recorded. I'm going to have all these, you know, that just need visuals. And at that point, then I could add the visuals on before I release the music video. All right, before I release the music. So like, say if I upload the music on Apple Music or something, then come back and do the music video like a couple weeks later, put it on YouTube.
And then you use TikTok to like tease the motherfuckers, yeah. All kind of shit.
And I feel like this generation, so that's why everybody wants to become rappers, because it's so easy to promote your stuff now. You can just post it on social media, hope it blows up.
Mm-hmm. Shit, man, that'd be ideal. That's what my goal always was to do when we were doing music with people. It's like, I wanted to see somebody pop off. If I didn't pop off, I would love to like see somebody blow up and be like, at some point we did something together.
Yeah, that's why I try to here and there do like I said, I'm about to do that open verse contest with a couple of my friends that make music. So who has the best verse, and pick it. And I'll probably do that a couple more times, you know, or get featured on somebody else's song.
Bro, I would still love, man, I would love to do fucking, like, more of a hip-hop style podcast. To, like, and have a, get to a point to where, like, we could do a live stream and, like, react to people's fucking music.
Yeah, I have, and if you ever want to do that, like, I'll just throw some suggestions out for some podcast ideas, because you said you want to switch it up. Shit, we can even have one freestyle session. Mm-hmm. Live. We'll do it live. I have a friend that'll come in here. We'll smoke before we come. We'll be in here freestyling high like we always do. It's like a normal day for us. All we do is smoke, put on the beat, rap, you know, or do like reactions or something like you said, you know, something like that. I got friends that would come and do it if you ever needed somebody extra or anything. Mm-hmm. I have friends that are like, oh yeah, I'll come do that podcast. Or, you know, I got friends that will love rapping and freestyling that we can come and, you know, watch videos and react to them and maybe even throw freestyles in there too. Like, you know, just something.
Yeah, because that'd be like the pinnacle for me, because there's this podcast I watch that does that called No Jumper. And they do this thing on Fridays where, like, they've gotten so big now that they get people, like, emailing them, like, sending them links to a song, right? And they charge motherfuckers. Like, now they're charging, like, $50 or $70 for every single song they play. And they just kind of, like, play it. There's hundreds of people watching on the live stream. Thousands watch the thing after. And they're just kind of, like, critiquing it vaguely.
Is No Jumper, is that White Dudes podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Tattoos. Yeah. With all them tattoos. Yeah, he had Juice WRLD on there a couple times, too.
That's kind of like my model. That's what this is modeled after, nigga, the table they sit around. Yeah,
that's why, I like those are the type of podcasts I like. I like watching podcasts where people could just be themselves on there.
Yeah.
You know, if you rap, rap. If it's fire, I'm going to stay tuned in. If it's not, then I might click off.
But the only problem I have with that, right, like having people, like, you know, come over and shit, is I do this out of my crib, man. Mm-hmm. It's a whole other thing if I had a studio, but, like, I don't feel comfortable, like, having people I don't necessarily know.
That's what I was saying, like, a big part. That's why I said, like, a bunch of my friends are like, hey, see, you know, if you ever need anybody, I was like, yeah, but it's at his house, so I don't think you'd let anybody, you know.
But yeah, because, like I'm saying, I'd say that you would bring somebody, but say you catch, like, the right motherfucker, and he, like, tells somebody, like, oh, yeah, he's got all this shit in his crib.
Yeah.
This wouldn't be the move, you know? I think, yeah, I do that too. I go through, but I do that because I'm like listening for clips, looking for clips and shit.
Big crib?
Fucking crips sliding through the cracks.
Like, he's gangbanging.
They got me, bro. No, let's do this questionnaire section.
Bro, you know when you were talking about those jokes, I went home and I seen one of the, you're like, what's the funniest comeback you ever heard or something like that. I went home and I fucking forgot the comeback, but it was so fucking funny. I was rolling and I was like, man, if I wish I would have seen this video about 24 hours earlier, bro.
Which one? The one with the mom and the balls?
Huh?
Jokes?
Yeah. There was this joke I seen TikTok.
Oh, you forgot what the joke was.
Yeah, I forgot the joke was.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, if I'd have seen this joke so, like, 24 hours earlier, I'd have had Loke rolling at that table.
Specifically for that one moment, bro?
Yeah.
Let me see. You're in a room with everyone you've ever jerked off to. What do you do?
Bro. I'm going ham. I'm going crazy. Nuts. Like, I'm you and you over here at one time. Come here.
Man.
I'd be like Speed. You ever watch Speed on his streams and shit? That little, like, I think he's like 18, Black Dewey be streaming and shit. He's like a big troll.
I never seen it.
Bro, he was like, one of these things, he was like, he was on those live chats where you could chat with random people. He was like, what you gonna do if it's me? Or he was like, if me and you were the last two people on earth, would you recreate with me? And she was like, no. He was like, who's gonna stop me? Who's gonna stop me? We're the last two people. Who's gonna stop me?
Hell no, man.
That's about to be me in this room. I'm like, get over here. Like, nah, I'm like, who's gonna stop me? Who's gonna stop me?
Man. I don't know what I would do in that situation. I've, Man, have you ever, okay, this is a fucked up one. Have you ever beat off to, like, somebody's Facebook or, like, Instagram pictures?
One time. She was insanely bad.
Like, somebody personally you knew or, like, a famous person?
Like personally I knew. But she was, like, I'm pretty sure she was probably doing the same thing to me.
She flicked the B&D, man.
Man, so she put Guitar Hero to my shit, like.
You're like, I know which picture, too.
I put them on there purposely just for her.
Hey, females put out thirst traps, bro. Like, what else are they there for, you know?
Dude, that's so, if I was a girl, I'd be famous. There'd be no, I'd be a TikTok star.
OnlyFans.
Because if you're a female, the only, like, you, all you have to do is just put on booty shorts and show your ass. Or put on a small shirt and show your bras. Like, there's girls on TikTok that video blow up just lip syncing a song, but you can see her nipples are hard as a rock through her shirt.
And that's why it gets millions of views.
Yeah, and I'm like, damn, I'm jealous. Like, if I could wear tight shorts and show my dick print and go crazy, like, I would do it. I would be TikTok famous.
Hey, from now on, you're just going to be, like, sitting right here on the table, spread eagle, until we get a million views, bro. Shirtless, nigga. Yeah. You're going to only be laid out, like, if we're about to put food on you, you're going to get
in
eaten.
In the cheetah print underwear.
You're just going to be laying down, dog, and the camera's going to be lower, and you're just going to have the mic over your mouth, and we're just going to have these normal conversations. Oh, man. Then after 1,000 subs, we switch positions. Oh, shit. All right. People who lick ass during sexual intercourse, why do you do it?
Oh, I have a friend who does this, bro. Like, I was telling you about the VR thing.
Uh-huh.
The kids was watching the VR stuff. I called him, and I was like, bro, look at these dudes. And I was like, look at these dudes. They're watching virtual porn on this VR. He was like, flip her over, eat her ass. Bro was like, I already did that. He said, oh, I'm getting one. Cause I need that. I'm like, bro, why do you do it? I don't. He just said he enjoys it. Like, you enjoy eating booty?
So you don't eat butt?
I did it one time, never again.
You did it once, though, bro. You said it. You
one
tried
and
it.
Done. One and done. I'm the type that you can't deny it unless you try it. And I tried it, now I'm denying it.
I'm not going to lie. It's not, like, my special move, but I've done it before. And fucking, like, it's so close to it. I don't see how you don't, like, every now and then just miss.
Hey, I ain't going to lie. A tongue slipped a little bit. A couple times. Like, when you know it slipped whenever you feel jumping when she jumped.
I was just talking to somebody about this like a couple weeks ago. I think we had this exact conversation, and I said every time before I've done it, like, it's always the same way. Like, if they're turned around and like they're, you know, ass poked up and you're just there, it never fails that like I cock the head back, like I'm about to headbutt somebody, bro, and I just go and like, yeah, the cheeks like stop my head.
He was really, hey, that's the definition of tongue punching.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like one of them, like, you got to do it. Don't be a bitch.
Straight in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was going to say something funny. Man, I just lost my train of thought again. Oh, No. Oh, so my friend who be eating ass, I guess he got his ass eaten.
Oh, no.
Bro, what is, like, how did, bro, you're not stripped of your manhood when you're tooting that thing up.
Bro, a lot of motherfuckers let that happen.
Bro, like, you tooting it up for her, bro, and you don't feel like your manhood just slip out a little bit?
No, she's penetrating you at that point, bro.
Bro, like, but I heard that dudes have G-spots in their ass, so.
I've heard that too, but I'll never find out.
Yeah, me either. I'm not the one to test that tree.
Because like, it's like a stairway to like a strap on.
Man, I'm like,
if you let them lick it, then they're gonna start like playing with the outside, and they'll be playing with the inside, and then it's just gonna get darker.
Yeah, I don't think there's any up to go from there. You can't go anymore up from there. You're going down.
Yeah, we got boundaries here, son.
Yeah, like there's some things that's just not for me.
I couldn't do it either.
The position is uncomfortable.
This is a fun one. What's the creepiest urban legend you've ever heard? It's almost like a ghost story, I guess.
I don't really know.
I got a couple of them that I like. Not really urban legend, but like, this is like, I think it's called like the world's shortest horror story. It's like, it's the end of the world and there's one man and he hears someone knock on the door. That's the story. Do you understand?
Yeah. Like, he's the only one.
He's the last man on earth, so.
Who's knocking at the door?
Right.
There ain't no person.
That's like, I think the thing is it's supposed to like make your brain like imagine what could be knocking on the door.
What if you just open the door and it's a dog? It's just at the door. They say your last person alive. They ain't say animal.
You're a really positive thinker, bro. I just picture Satan, like in the full Satan outfit.
Which one? Like just Satan or the goat Satan from the movie?
You like a dude in a full red costume, red face paint, and red devil horns with a pitchfork.
I'd be like, hey. You're not the guy I was expecting. Where's God at? When's he coming to take me? Everybody else gone.
Hey, man. Nah, but urban legends, there's a fuck ton of them. Oh, my favorite one. I told this one on TikTok, and it got pretty good views. It's the urban legend of the lady who finds the dog in the microwave. You familiar with this? Mm-mm. Okay, I'll retell it again, because I'm definitely reposting this. So, there's a old woman, right? She lives with her and her little, like, Pomeranian dog, this little lap dog. And she's asleep on her, or she's laying down in her recliner watching TV. And the dog is always at her hip on the side on the floor. So, you know, she's kind of dozing off watching TV. She has her hand dangling down on the couch. The dog licks her hand. She's like, oh shit, you're hungry. My bad. Gets up, gets the dog some food, back to the couch, sitting down watching TV again. Feels the dog licking her hand again. Oh shit, you want to go to the restroom? Okay. Takes the dog outside for a walk, comes back inside. Watching TV, she's dozing off again, feels the dog licking on her hand. She's like, fuck it, you're just being goofy now. Stays asleep. She wakes up to the sound sometime later of the microwave going off. Deep, deep. She goes and checks. It's the fucking dog. Somebody put the dog in the microwave. And then she reads, I think, in blood on the wall from the dog's blood. People can lick too.
What the fuck? That's crazy.
Right?
Bro, who licked her hand?
That's it. That's the thing. The nigga was on the floor, bro, next to her couch licking her hand.
What the fuck? That makes you think, bro, was it the person the whole time licking her hand? She just did all the thing for the dog, and maybe the dog didn't even eat nothing. It was the person the whole time.
I think it was all the dog, but it's just that last lick, she wasn't paying attention, and it was the dude just on the ground licking her hand.
Imagine if she would have looked over that couch. And just seeing the dude licking her hand, bro. What would be your reaction to that?
That's one of them stories, bro, though. When you hear, like, the punchline dog, it's like...
Dogs or humans can lick? Like, bro, like I knew that, but I didn't think he was going to lick my hand. That's nuts. Like, I don't even know how I'll react to that. Like, bro, I'd move out the house and burn the house, move somewhere out the state.
You know what, like, the classic urban legends are, right? Like, the man in the back seat, some ladies at a gas station pumping her gas, and there's some weird, like, gas station attendant she's kind of creeped out by. And he starts walking towards her, so she, like, gets out, puts the pump away, gets in her car real quick, and he's, like, banging on her window, yelling, and she's all, like, trying to ignore him. And she doesn't hear. And she drives off, and as she's driving off, then the narrator goes to the guy at the gas station. He's on the phone. He's like, I was trying to tell this woman there was somebody in her back seat.
That is crazy. I haven't heard many urban legends. Like,
yeah, those are all like old like ghost tales. Like that's why, like, you know, you check your back seat when you get in the car. Things you don't think about.
Man, I always do that like as an instinct. Like I've always been like all them scary movies and shit, like where Chucky's in the back seat or something like that, or like the dude who you're running from is in the back seat. It's all like it made me paranoid. So like when I get in the car, my first instinct, all right, check the back seat. Like, I check it before I get in the car. Like, the windows are see-through. I'm looking, like, make sure nobody's back here. Because what if somebody is back here? I'm catching them before they catch me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, like, I just. It's
clutch.
Yeah. It's like, it's instinct now, bro. Like, it's so much crazy shit that goes on in the world. Like, you never know if there's somebody in your backseat.
Yeah, or, like, it's real things you wouldn't even think are real simple. Like, always turn on the lights. Like, whenever you get home, flip the lights on.
Yeah, I don't like going places I can't see. If I can't see in front of me, there's a problem. Because I don't know what's coming. I don't know if something's coming at me, or something's waiting for me, or if what. But I'm always cautious, because I just know that one time that I'm not cautious could be the time that I get caught.
That got me wanting to look up famous urban legends, bro. List of urban legends. Baby train. Urban legend which claims that a small town had an unusually high birth rate because a train would pass through the town at 5 a.m. and blow its whistle, waking up all the residents. Since it was too late to go back to sleep and too early to get up, couples would have sex. That's retarded, bro. That's not at all what I was looking for.
that did not go with expect.
This was not at all. Wikipedia just failed us, bro.
Yeah. Yo.
Bigfoot's an urban legend. The Yeti or the Snowman. It's not urban legend. That's cryptids, bro. It's a difference.
Bigfoot.
And the fucking... Low energy people. How have you increased your energy? I haven't figured that out yet.
I'm still working on that one, too.
I feel like this is a repetitive question. You walk into a room with everyone you've ever had sex with. What do?
That's going to be an awkward conversation because a lot of them are friends.
People you still fuck with?
No, like they fuck with each other. Like they're friends, like lady friends that I've done messed with that they don't know that I messed with. Like that'd be an awkward. You got to realize I'm 18. And I know it's not a good thing to keep track of your body count, but every guy does it. You got a number, you say it out. Mine's in the 20s, and I'm 18. I'm 18. Let my girls find this out. Hey, it's five. It's five. I have five bodies. Five. But hey, if it's us boys talking, I'm going to let you know the real number. It's 20. 22 to be exact.
Bro, this entire episode is just going to be titled John's Body Count Reveal at the end.
Hey,
dude, you're an animal, bro.
We gotta hide this from the internet. Hey, girls do it too, though. Girls lie about their body count too, so it's all right. I tell every girl my body count's five, but in all reality, it's 22. So if I have 22 girls in the room and they're looking at each other like, bro, I thought your body count was five. I'm like, yeah, it was five when I was about ninth grade. You got, remember, I lost my virginity in seventh grade to a sophomore. Mm. That's when I started getting hungry. When you just get the first touch, you just got to keep going.
You were just victimized, bro.
And high school is the best place to do it.
It's true. And you just left, man. You left the fucking gold mine.
Man, I had to. You can't, yeah, you can only so much high school you can take. The women were the only plus of high school. I'm not even going to lie. The only reason I went to high school was just to see the women. Fuck the learning.
Yeah. Bro, I'm such an existential bastard in terms of, like, that means, like, I'm always thinking inside of my head, like, this, like, story. So, like, my entire last year of high school, every fucking day I was walking down the hallways, I would legitimately look at lockers and go, I'm never going to see this again.
When I'm going through the hallways, I'm like, thank God I never got to see this again. That's my mindset because, like, I feel like, you learn everything you need to learn by at least sophomore, junior year. Senior year is just finishing out the last.
It's just doubling down pretty much.
On everything, maybe teach you a little bit more responsibility for the future. That's about it. That's all senior year is, other than a lot of fucking work. I feel like you know everything you need to know by, like, at least junior year.
Yeah.
That senior year is just getting ready for, like, I know a lot of schools do, like, senior projects and shit, which has them go foreshadow, like, what career they're going into. So, by that, my senior year, man, my junior year, I'm sick of it. Like, we're just learning the same shit. Just add a spin to it.
I think the whole school system, bro, just needs a revamp.
Yeah, I feel like if they did that, there would, like, there's some schools in different countries that would go to school, like, four times a week.
I don't even think it's so much about how many times you're going. I think it's just what you're being taught. Because, like, say if you know early on you're going to be a welder. You know you're going to be a carpenter. You know you're going to do something with your hands, right?
Yeah.
What do you need to learn about, like, history? What do you need to learn about the dates of history? You need math. I get that. You need math to be able to do that type of stuff. Maybe a little bit of science.
see, they push all this other top, all these other subjects that we really wouldn't use day-to-day basis. Or, you know, in history class, they don't teach all history. Like, they teach certain top subject, what they have to teach, which is not really what I think that they should do, because each, like, there's some, like, events that happened in the past that we never learned about. And there's some stuff that they do talk about. Like, in school, they cover the topic of slavery, but they don't get into it. They cover it. They let you know, like, slavery was a thing. We used to, you know, do this and this to these certain type of people. And if you're this color, then you could do this. And this color, you could do this. You know, they taught us about Jim Crow laws, all that. But they didn't go into detail about certain other topics, like different major events in the world that happened. Like, you know, we just get the basic history. Just basic history. Like, okay, these are the presidents. This is what this Abraham Lincoln got assassinated, slavery, abolished slavery. But they don't talk about the pieces in there that they missed. They go over, and I feel like some of those topics that they miss could be important to know about, like, history. They don't talk about very much Mexican-American, Mexican history, heritage, none of that in school. Like, we get the month, the Mexican heritage much that month, that's it. Or,
well, they teach you the who, the what, the when, and the where. They don't teach you the biggest W of all, why.
Yeah, they don't, and they only go over certain top subjects. Like, okay, we're learning about slavery, you know, Black history. Okay, what if I want to know, like, where were the Asians during slavery? They didn't talk about that. Where were the Asians at? Were they slaves? Where were the Mexicans at? Were they slaves? Where were the, you know, all these other people? But they didn't teach that. You know, I feel like there's a lot that we missed. Like, that could have been useful. Like, you know, not useful, but, like, you know more about the past.
You know, what's crazy is the thing is a lot of teachers don't even know that, because they're taught the same thing you are, just at a more detailed level going upwards.
Yeah.
And that's what qualifies them to teach you, is they're just literally repeating what they've had drilled into their dome. So they don't even know those answers.
And I had, like, history teachers in the past say, oh, I wish we had more time so we can learn, you know, this and this and this and go over this topic, but we don't. We have a certain, we by the state education system, they have a certain things that they have to teach, and they get to pick their, the state or whoever picks their subject, the teachers don't pick their subjects, they get told what they have to teach you. So it really isn't the teacher's fault, because I've had teachers that go off topic and, you know, throw in bits and pieces that other teachers wouldn't have, that, you know, we're like, damn, this happened, you know?
I think that's because teachers get burned out teaching that kind of stuff, or maybe, you know, kids are giving them an extra hard time and shit, so some are putting in more effort than others are. Like how you said, some teacher might be able to make something interesting to you that you would have never fucking cared about if it was just some teacher reading the curriculum, just kind of handing out homework and telling the assignments.
Yeah.
Or hell, bro, just like what we're doing right now, like, say if you were in a classroom and a teacher's teaching you about, like, American literature and urban legends, I'm pretty sure they'd find a way to make that really boring to you. But me orally telling you a story, an actual interesting urban legend, you're probably like, well, fuck, I gotta look up some fucking urban legends.
Yeah.
This shit sounds wild.
They are wild. Yeah, I think it's just... A lot of the school, like, work is teachers try to make it fun, but it doesn't turn out that way. And then at the end of the day, you just get the lesson.
Yeah, I was never big on school neither.
Yeah, like, I just feel like right now I know all I need to know to prepare me for the world. I know, okay, I got in the routine of waking up, going to a place, you know, spending about 7-8 hours there, you know, and then learn some skills to help me along the way, problem solving skills, working with people, group activities, you know, stuff like that to help me. But all that little stuff together was, I stopped learning stuff that prepared me for the real world by, like I said, like, junior year. I think this year I really didn't learn shit. Not because I didn't go to school, it was because the everything I already knew. Other than, like, new math subjects or something, like, new ways to do math.
Yeah, you kind of checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's all the same concept. Like, I can add up, I can subtract, I can multiply, I can, you know, do all that stuff. I can read, I can write. Nothing that I wouldn't be able to do in the real world. So I feel like, you know, like I said, they should make it to where they reevaluate the grades.
How much of that, though, do you think was the effort you put out?
A lot of, I'd say about 50-50.
Because that's what it comes down to with schools. If you don't do the homework, that's how you fuck up.
I think that's what really fails most people is the homework. Because me, that was my problem. I never did the homework. It slipped my mind, and then we get to class the next day. It's like, all right, pull out the homework. I'm like, fuck. Let me get your paper real quick. Copy it down. That was my big thing, was the homework. That's what really failed me. A lot of my classes that I failed in high school were from homework. It was never test. It was homework.
How dumb is the concept of homework? Like, you're teaching me this stuff during the day, and then I got to take it home after the fact?
Yeah, like, I feel like teachers should do it to where, because then it'd solve a lot more problems with people losing the homework or making excuses on why they didn't do the homework. Was just keep all the papers at school. Finish it in the next class. If you didn't get done here, do it in the next class. Because we're in each class period for an hour and a half. In high school, we have like four classes a day, hour and a half each. And it's like, why am I in this class for an hour and a half and then gotta go home and do the work for another 30 minutes to an hour? You know, like writing essays, I get, you know, you can't do it all at school. You do it at home some. But like math work, like paperwork, like come home with a stack of a packet this big, just work. Like, it's just pointless. I'm at school and you're going to make me bring this torture home.
Nah. I was always really good at writing papers. That was like my strength. I remember in college, because I went to college for a year and some change before I realized, like, oh yeah, I don't want to fucking do this. But I had taken composition. That's just fancy English. And I think it was the second composition class. And this dude, we had to write like the big paper. You know, schools always talk about there's a big paper. And so my big paper, it was a thesis paper on the difference between bottled water and tap water. And I remember I just put in all these jokes and shit. I did all types of random stuff with it. It was worth 500 points to your grade. And I got 495 out of 500. And at the very top of the paper, the dude wrote, "You completely misunderstood the point of this assignment." But I still got a 495 out of 500. Like, that was a big clue for me where I was like, all right, well, I meant to do some type of, like, storytelling.
Yeah.
So you pick and choose what you want from it. But, like, math, bro, I could never get out of algebra. I never moved above calculus or geometry. I was always in algebra. I couldn't pass it.
No, I failed algebra 2 years in a row. Like, 2 years in a row. It took algebra my sophomore year. Yeah, sophomore. No, 3 years. Sophomore, junior, senior. 3 years in a row I failed algebra. Algebra 2. Like, bro, what? Like, it's the same thing. I just couldn't pass it because I didn't do the homework.
I think it's because I couldn't justify the formulas. Like, when the fuck am I going to need to really know this? With all the things in my head that I know, where do I want to learn the Pythagorean theorem, the fucking...
Yeah, like, bro, I'm not going to be at a gas station and be like, Y plus B equals da-da-da-da. You're like, bro, what?
Like, whenever I saw them doing, like, square roots with X's and, like, variables at the top, I'm like, yo, this is stupid.
Like, bro, can't I just pull out a calculator, bro? Like, there's calculators for a reason. If I don't know how to do this, I'm going to figure it out. And if not, Google's going to help me. Like,
there's a kid next to me right now deep-throating his ruler. He's so excited to do this. Those are the guys you want in this classroom. You can leave me out of it, yo.
Like, I've had, like, my algebra teacher this year, like, I was in class, did the work. My grade was still down because I didn't do the homework. It's the homework just get me. I'm telling you, the homework's what made me fail algebra 2. Them algebra teachers give you so much homework. Like, I have more homework in algebra than I did English, which is nuts because that's where I had to write my essays.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to write like 4 or 5 essays in like a semester That man's got like 4 or 5 essays in the semester, and I still had a better grade in that class than algebra.
One of these was interesting to me. It said, at what age did you find out Santa Claus wasn't real?
When I found my presents before they were wrapped. I found my presents before they were wrapped, and then I wrapped them up, and they said Santa. And I was like, yo, I just see this in your closet.
How old were you, you think?
Probably like 10. I was one of those, or no, probably about like, yeah, 10. Yeah, around there.
So I feel like that's later than most kids find out nowadays.
Yeah. Nowadays.
You see me though, bro. I was riding hard, bro, until I was 12. I was in middle school, dog.
Talking about Santa?
No. It's worse. Kids would be talking about how Santa Claus isn't real, and in my brain, I remember in my head, I'd be like, you guys don't even fucking know. Wait till you see.
Wait till you see what's on that Christmas tree. You not
blue. Wait till you die and Santa meets you at the heavenly gates and casts you down into the fiery Christmas lights of hell.
Man, like, I be trying to save the kids nowadays. Like, yeah, Santa's real. Santa still bring me presents. Like, you know, try to save them. But it's because all the other kids that got it ruined, and they go to school and then they talk about it. And then they're like, Santa's not real. I just see my mom putting presents under the tree.
Bro, I didn't realize how selfish I was until I had a kid, right? And then when you have a kid and it's Christmas time, you're busting your ass at work. You're buying these gifts. Are you really going to give credit to some imaginary character? Have you ever thought of it like that? You buy, like, the PS5, for example. Are you going to really tell your kid, yeah, Santa flew over his sleigh and dropped you this PS5 you've been wanting? Or are you going to say, No. It's just going to be pictures of your face all over the wrapping paper.
Man, like, what if a kid hit you with the you didn't buy the Santa did?
Oh, God, bro.
Yo.
No.
Give me your PlayStation. You didn't buy a Santa did.
We're taking this motherfucker back to the North Pole, cuh.
Yeah, I'm getting my receipt. At that point, I'm pulling out the receipt like, oh, yeah, Santa's real, huh? What the fuck is this? This is your whole shopping list right here on this receipt, little bastard.
Print off the bank statement. Oh, man, I didn't even think of that. That's fucked.
Bro, there's some kids that'll test your limits these days, and you can't, you know, like we was talking about, you can't just beat your kid endlessly. You gotta, I'm gonna teach my kid a lesson. Sin is not real, damn it, and you're not about to disrespect me. Like,
bro, speaking of teaching kids lessons, I had this fire moment with my daughter like a month ago. She kind of fucked this up recently, but anyways. So, she always says this thing, because kids have this notion, right, that the world is black and white. There's good kids and there's bad kids. Like, oh, that kid's acting up, that's a bad kid, you know? Mm-hmm. She was like, my cousins, they say bad words because they're bad, you know? And I was like, wait, Bells. I was like, that just because they say bad words doesn't mean they're bad. I was like, it just means they don't know when to use bad words and when not to use bad words. They weren't taught, you know, nobody corrected them when they messed up. And then I was like, I use bad words sometimes. Does that make me bad? And you should have seen, like, her eyes kind of doing this thing of, like, it broke her brain for a second to go, like, are you bad? She was just like, oh. Kind of gave me one of those, like, I don't think so. And I was like, well, there you go.
That's great. That's a good lesson. That's a good lesson. Because it just makes her think, like, okay. But how'd she mess it up? What'd she talk to say bad words?
I was repeating this exact story a couple of days ago to my sister and them, and she was in the background. She was like, still bad. She was pretty much like, fuck them kids.
You and them kids are bad.
You're all going to hell.
One bad word, you're going to hell.
And then somebody out there who's watching this is probably like, well, nigga, you shouldn't be swearing in front of your kid to begin with, you piece of shit.
Yeah, he's like, man, let me raise my kids my own way, bitch.
Man, this is my goddamn show. Fuck you.
This is my house. You're not going to tell me I can cuss where I want to cuss.
Nah, man, but I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this bad boy up. John, thank you for being here, friend.
Thanks for having me.
This has been the Death Taco Podcast.